Ibra di testa, Tonali, gol! Sandro! Meritato! Sandro!
Hello everyone and welcome to another episode of the Sempre Milan podcast. I'm your host, Ollie Fisher, joined once again by Anthony Torgrude.
What's up guys, glad to be back. Looks like I'm in a storage locker. We're packing up, we're leaving here, so excuse the boxes. But expect to see more of them next week too. We got Madison as well.
Yeah. United States added another trophy to their cabinet, while England still only has one.
Well, no, actually, they won Nations League last night, didn't you?
No.
Oh, that was just
us. That was I don't know. Did Spain win it? I find the Nations League bizarre. Like,
it's a weird setup. I really don't get it.
What did the USA win?
The Nations League.
Oh, but for like CONCACAF or whatever.
Yeah, the CONCACAF Nations League. We've won three straight. Good. CONCACAF trophies now.
That's pretty good considering you're like worse than Mexico and Canada.
Well, those are the two teams we beat on a 5-0 aggregate, so
knew that'd get something.
Yeah, I knew it was either bite or look like I don't know what I'm talking about. So
you still don't really know what you're talking about, but I'll let you have it.
Balogun and Pulisic scored, two of our supposed targets. I did see that. That's
dude, Balogun looked good too.
We'll definitely not get any of them now. I hope everyone's enjoying the summer. Anyway, this kind of falls into the void of being like end of season's happened, but there's some internationals still going on, and the transfer window hasn't yet opened. A lot of journalists are on holiday and stuff, so there's not much news knocking about, but they're still finding a way to churn some shite out. So we've decided we're going to do one last thing to kind of cap off the season, basically, and close the curtain on 2022-23. Last week, we looked back at our predictions ahead of the season. And we've also done an article for the website going through and picking out sort of player of the season, flop of the season, favourite goal, favourite moment, all that kind of stuff. You can find that on the features section. But now we are going to rate each player individually. Seems like a logical course of action. Obviously, we're going to be able to spend more time on some than on others based on how much they played, but we're going to give it a go. So let's dive in. Before I start this, of course, I've got to say as well, go and subscribe to our Substack, because we're going to be doing some interesting stuff on there over the next couple of weeks, one of which I'm actually writing. Isaac normally writes them, but he's going away, so I'm writing something up on Jeffrey Moncada, so be sure to check that out. That'll probably be out next week or the week after. But yeah, had to get that plug in there before we dive in with the goalkeepers and Mike Maignan.
Do you guys want me to start? Or?
Well, yeah, we'll go alphabetically. So Anthony, Madison.
Okay, gotcha. All right, so it might be a little controversial, but I'm going to give him a 6 because he missed half the season. And I don't know the exact numbers. I don't have them in front of me, but I know like in his first 10 to 12 games back, he actually conceded the same amount as Tata in Tata's entire stint. So he probably has conceded more than Tata this year by playing less games, which obviously isn't a good look, but clearly we had quite a few struggles in the second half of the season. So there is that. That gives him a little leeway. And, of course, coming back from injury, you know, you're a bit rusty. So he gets a bit of a pass. He's still probably the best keeper in the world, but for me, a 6.
Mm-hmm. I'm looking some things up. However you
go. Okay. I'm going to say, let's say that we can do full numbers and 0.5. Is that fair?
Yeah.
I'm going to go 6.5. And I know AJ would have done the same, hadn't we? all the reasons you said, like fantastic goalkeeper, makes us far better when he's in the team. You can see how much more comfortable the defense looks. He's like an extra playmaker, all that stuff. But when you miss 5 months of a season when it was only meant to be 6 weeks, and then you went to see a dodgy physio to try and rush yourself back for the World Cup, and it ends up hindering our season a bit. I'm less inclined to go overboard with the praise. So I'm just going to say 6.5. And next season, it could well be, if we get him fully fit for the entire season, we could be looking at, you know, 8, 9, whatever. But we can only judge what we saw this season, which unfortunately wasn't enough, really.
When did he?
That's funny. I was going to go 7.
Okay. Yeah. Only one difference there between us, which isn't too bad.
I am just basing him off of when he played, not dating him because he got injured. I thought, you know, he had his moments of brilliance, but like you guys both said, he did concede more than he did last year. And that's what happens, man. You got to stay consistent. But I also still think that he is one of the best in the world.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We're on to Tata Reshanu now.
I'm giving him a 3. He had some moments, man, but overall, I think he played way too much this year. Obviously, he had to. I get that. But you could tell he was in over his head, and he's not built at this point in his career, at this point in his life, whatever you want to call it, to play that many games, and it showed. He started off fine. You know, when he came in, it was like, okay, you know, we can handle this. He did good last season when Mike was out for a month, and then as the months went on, he got worse. Mm-hmm. And the players around him got worse because all of a sudden they had to cover more. So it started going bad. And then, of course, January. I mean, did he concede 30 goals in January? Something ridiculous like that? Like, that was the roughest stretch of games I'd ever watched. So
Tata Reshanu actually averaged more points per game than Mike Mignon.
He also played a lot more games.
He didn't. He played 6 less games.
Did Mike? Mike played more games than Tata?
Mike played 29. Tata played 23.
Right. Wow.
Wow. Wow.
I suppose a big part of Mike's absence was the World Cup and then winter break. Maddie, what are you giving him?
I don't want to be an asshole because he's just not good, right? But like a 4 or 5, you know, he served his purpose, but he also served it in a really shitty manner. So, you know.
Yeah. There has to be an element of
like 4.5 because I did say 4 or 5. So
there has to be an element of feeling a bit sorry for him. Like, because I mean, get it. He's a paid professional and everything, but he got thrust into a difficult situation again and had to play him way more than he should have, as AJ said. He averaged a goal every 70-something minutes, I think, by the end, which is not good. It's not good. I mean, the defence let him down quite a lot. I do believe that. But then on the flip side, the defence probably felt less secure having someone behind him who's just not a sweeper keeper either. I'm going to give him a 5. And a big part of that is weighted on the fact that, like, he shouldn't have even been in that position. We should have signed him already deputy, but he didn't have as many howlers, I don't think, as the season before when he was asked to step up, but he didn't help things in January when everything fell apart. Mirante, obviously, we can't really rate. He came on for like 7 minutes in the last game of the season.
Never let in a goal all season.
Yeah, he's actually our best keeper statistically. 10 out of 10.
Yeah, he averaged 3 points a game.
Yeah.
There you go.
Can't argue with stats, man.
We move on to defenders.
Moneyball, baby.
Yeah.
We've got Pierre Kalulu.
Sorry, I just like raised my leg and hit the little lever on my chair and I just dropped. Scared the shit out of me.
That's like a dramatic reaction to Kalulu. You're sinking into the floor.
Yeah, no, it's too early for that. It genuinely scared me. Like my eyes are a little water and I was like, what's happening? Kalulu, I'm going to give him a 6.5. You know, I don't think he had a bad season. He didn't have a great one. It wasn't as good as last year, and he didn't play as much as last year either. So it's hard to like be really critical of him when his playing time was so much less than the previous year. But there were a decent amount of times where I felt like I was saying, that's on Kalulu, or Kalulu got dusted there, you know, whatever it is. But overall, I don't think he had a terrible season. It just wasn't what we saw from him last year. Yeah. So 6.5.
Kalulu played the most games out of anyone on our defense.
There's no fucking way, dude. It does not feel that way.
46 games. Teo and Tomori played in 45.
Wow.
What did Kalulu average, though, for minutes?
They both played more minutes, though.
Okay. Yeah. That makes sense. All right.
He lost his starting spot on me, really, by the end.
Yeah. Well, and he also averaged 1.6 points per game. There's only two other defenders who averaged less, three other, and I can almost bet you guys can all guess who they are. They all play on the right side. I'm going to say a 5.5, only because last year he was so good and he had such a big drop in form.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. I don't think he was. I think he was anywhere near the levels of last season. Like Tomori and Kalulu were amazing and a massive part of the reason we won the league. We kept 9 clean sheets out of 11. We couldn't buy a clean sheet this season at various points. I thought his positioning was a bit off. Like he left his man open way too many times. But that being said, it's relative and it's because of how high a level he set for himself. So I'm going to go 6. I expect that to be one of the divisive ones where everyone thinks he was either way better than people are giving him credit for or dropped off a cliff. Calabria next.
Oh, wow. You know what? I'm going to be... this is kind of the wussy way out here, but I'm going to stay a little neutral and give him a 6.5 as well. There were plenty of times this season where I said Calabria was the worst player. But the way he pocketed Kvaratskhelia 4 times, that turned me into a believer. I watched him against Cremonese live, and obviously it wasn't a game we won, but he looked incredible there. And then he looked like dog shit 4 days later against Lazio. And, you know, he's one of those just up and down players for me. He either looks incredible or just really, really bad. So 6.5 again. Nah, 6. We'll give him a 6.
I'm also going to give him a 5, like I gave Kalulu, because he actually averaged less points per game than him. He was also injured, I feel like, for almost like half the season.
He was out for a while.
Yeah,
That was when we started bouncing back from that January skid, wasn't it?
What?
We switched to a 3-man defense when he was hurt, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but we also put Dest in for him. Yeah. And Dest kind of shit the bed. But you expect more out of your captain. Like, he has his big game moments, but big game moments don't win you top 4 or titles. It's also your small game defense, and he's a liability. But he's our captain, and I'll stick by him. He'll get to 5, though.
Yeah, I was going to say you're giving him a 5. 5.5. I think he got exposed a bit too much, and while he had 3 or 4 good games, it seemed that he was only up for the heat of the battle when everyone was against him. And in the obvious, in the moments when you probably need your captain the most as well, he was left wanting a little bit. We know he's not great in defending in isolation. We know that his positioning isn't always the best, and the thing is, he doesn't seem to be taking strides forward in that. As you'd hope and expect, he doesn't seem to be getting a better defender. We're kind of seeing the finished product with him now. But a bit of injury stuff in there, formation changes, came back in and looked a little bit better. But yeah, gets a 5.5 for me. Florenzi next, tough one. Died.
How many games did he play? I don't know.
Not many.
I almost don't feel comfortable giving him a rating because I don't remember anything from him this season, to be honest with you.
He played 200 minutes.
Yeah, six games in the league. I mean, we can give it a not applicable if you want.
I'm going to say not applicable because I don't want to attack the guy, but I genuinely don't remember a single moment of him playing. I remember him coming on towards the end of the season, and I thought, that's a weird sub. That one doesn't make any sense, but that was it. And 200 minutes, man. I mean, that's a little – it's 2 games and 20 extra minutes, you know?
He played 6 games.
Yeah. So
yeah, he's just not up to it physically anymore. I don't want to give him a rating because I would feel bad putting him on blast for 200 minutes. But I would give the management a 1 out of 10 for the decision to even sign him permanently. Anyway, yeah, okay. He did pretty well stepping up in the Scudetto season as like a second, sometimes third choice right back. But also, he had 2 knee surgeries in the same season. What were we doing giving $4 million to a rival for a player in his 30s who could not stay healthy? And that proved to be the case. He got injured early in the season, needed months out because his muscle was that badly fucked. Go, please. Like, we need earners off the books like that are contributing nothing. But I feel bad because, you know, bad injury looks. Serginho Dest.
How many minutes did he end up with total as well? I know it was
completely vanished off the
632.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. That's enough for a rating. I'm giving him a 2 just so I don't get shit for giving Tata the lowest rating. But yeah, Dest, he showed up to every game looking stoned, acting stoned. I don't know. And then I watched him this weekend in the Gold Cup for USA. And like, you just see this passion in him. Nations League, whatever. You see passion in me. I mean, he's literally punching one of the Mexico players in the face because they hit him in the back of the head or some shit. Like, fired up, ready to go, and he actually looked good, minus the red card. But it's like, where was this shit all
dribbling? And I'm like, is this Ronaldinho out there? Like, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah, it makes no sense. He just doesn't give a shit about Milan, and we knew that when he signed because he even mentioned, like, I need game time for the World Cup. And that was the first red flag. The second one was the moment he debuted. And yeah, all the other red flags were every other time he touched the pitch for us. I mean, well, he might have had a couple moments of brilliance, but nothing that
turned before into the World Cup, he looked like trash, right? Yeah. But in the World Cup, we conceded like one goal in the group stage.
And then, he looked great in the World Cup.
Yeah. And then Netherlands kind of like beat us 3-1 or something.
Yeah. Go on. Sorry.
I'm going to give him a 4.
Okay. My lasting memory is being at Stamford Bridge and watching us take a free kick that was passed to him, and he thought he was being passed the ball for the free kick, so he just put his hand on it as if he was placing the ball. Like, that's such worrying levels of awareness for a professional footballer. He gets a 2 for me. Fucking disgrace. And a high earner, by the way. I said all season, I presume we're not paying his entire 3.5 salary. We fucking were. That is dreadful. Thanks, Maldini.
There's a reason why he's out of a job, man.
Honestly, it hits Dest.
Yeah, it is Dest. Dest and Decatur Lara is the 2D.
CDK, man.
Balotore next.
You know what? I'm going to give Balotore a 5. I don't think he was nearly as bad as we like to shit on him for. And he actually came on for Leao towards the end of the season as a left wing and didn't look bad. I mean, so I'll give him a 5.5, actually.
Yeah, I mean, he played his role as like a bench warmer, right? Like, he's not going to play a lot of games. Yeah. He averaged a decent amount of points per game, and he scored a goal. So that's more than you can say about Dest.
He did score a goal. It was the winner away against Empoli. Yeah, that's knocking it up a mark for me. I was going to go 4.5, but
I'm going to go 5.5.
Yeah, cool. We're in a similar ballpark there. Teo Hernandez.
I'm torn between 7.5 and 8 because there was a patch of games there where it looked like he wanted to be anywhere but
field. But the entire team looked like that, to be fair.
Yeah, but there was some where, like the Sassuolo game, there's clips of him where he's walking. He's not chasing the ball. Yeah. He's letting Paredes run past him. And
didn't he
that shit's embarrassing. Did he what?
Is that when he just had a baby?
I thought the baby was last season.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I can't remember, to be honest.
Yeah, but,
it was. Because his child was walking at the end of the season.
Yeah.
So
I don't know, man. I mean, like, look, Taylor's one of our best players. I just worry about his attitude at times. It's something that every rival fan has called him out for, having a bad attitude. And typically it's in favor of us. But when it's not, it's very obvious. And that worries me. So I'll give him a 7.5. It's still the highest rating I've given so far. But, he's got to leave that outside drama shit at home. And when you're at work, you know, be a professional. So,
yeah, I'm going to give him a 7. He was arguably one of our best defenders. But I still feel like he dropped off from last season, if that was even possible, because last season was phenomenal. Actually, it is possible, though.
Yeah, that makes it very possible.
Yeah, he was, you know, by far our best defender of the season. Actually, Kier was better, but regardless, points per game. Anyway, 7.
Stop looking at points per game. I'm talking about individuals, man.
This could get
called out 7. So early.
I think he could have been better. He looked like he didn't care. There are so many times where he could have passed the ball, and he just, you know.
But you know what? He did score my goal of the season. That Lazio
has to go.
So
by far,
yeah. You're absolutely allowed to add a 2 on for that, because being there for that would be incredible. I'm going to be a bit edgy and give him a 6.5. I think he dropped off noticeably compared to the Scudetto season. It was actually his worst season of attacking output for us. While I do think defensively, overall, he's got better as a package, there are still far too many games where you think, what is he doing? You know, that Sassuolo game was one of a number of them. He really struggled in both the Champions League derbies. I just don't think he was as consistent and his attacking output dropped off.
I think a lot of that has to do with the instruction this season. I think Pioli kind of changed the system slightly to where he wasn't given the freedom to go forward. I mean, we almost noticed that immediately from first game of the season, you know. And when he did get forward, he looked great. It looked like Teo of old, but you definitely saw him stay back a lot more this year.
I think other teams have adapted as well to the idea that he's going to push into midfield and he's going to cut across, you know, rather than playing as a conventional left back. Also, there were times when there was a constantly changing back four next to him. There was injuries in midfield. Liao missing at times as well. That can have an impact. But 6.5 is still good. Like he still had some very good games as well. Tomori next.
Ooh, that's tough. Mind you, guys, I'm doing all this without stats, so the Madison comes in with his stats afterwards. But top of my head, I'm going to give him 6.5. I think he was worse than last season, and it was also very noticeable. I would still probably say he's our best center back in terms of just actual skill and performance. But, it's just – a large sample size will either hurt you or help you, and I think in his case it hurts him because we did get to see flaws quite often. And it's really tough when we know the January we had and the March we had, and all these guys were a part of it. So it's hard to give him like the high scores too. But so 6.5 for me.
Yeah, I think that he had a huge drop off from last season. He was probably one of the best center backs in the league last season, and this season, like, he was up there, but he was definitely not one of the best. I was going to go 6. He also averaged 1.71 goal points per game. Got to stay consistent.
I'm just glad we've got that out there. I don't have anything to add to what you guys said. I totally agree. 6.5 for me. Because I still think he had those games where he didn't like win us it on his own, but like in the Champions League knockout games when it came to the crunch time, he looked really good against Spurs and against Napoli. And then against Inter, he took a step back. So that was just kind of where his season was at. So 6.5. Kier, next.
I'm going to give him a 5.5. I don't remember a whole lot from him this season. I know he fell out of the starting spot, obviously, towards the end of last year, and he never won it back this year. He did well in the Champions League against Spurs. I can't remember if he played the first game against Napoli or not, but he did well against Spurs, and props for that. But overall, I don't think he had enough for me to give him like a better rating.
I was going to give him a 6.5, only because he came back from injury, and like he was a solid defender. Like there were a few times that he was caught off, but like I feel like for the most part, like he was a solid bench guy, and we could depend on him when he was called upon. 1.8 points per game.
That's good. That's actually quite high for us. He stepped up like when I wasn't expecting it at all. You know, as Manny said, come back from a long injury, and I thought he'd be kind of useless for us this season. Without being disrespectful, I thought he's over the hill now in his mid-30s, and coming from such an injury like that, wasn't blessed with mobility anyway. I thought he could be exposed, but he actually had some good games and he marshalled the back line well. That being said, it's not that difficult to spin him. It's not difficult to expose his flaws. It happened too much. And he's going to be here next season, but I just think like he's the kind of player really we should be trying to get rid of, as awful as it sounds. He served his purpose for us, and thank you for the stability that he offered. Mm-hmm. But yeah, 6 for me, because he outperformed what I thought he'd do off the injury. Malik Chow.
I'm actually going to give Chow an 8. I thought every performance he put out, I was impressed with. You know, I don't think he's better than Tomori overall, but I think this season he was, in the limited games he got. You know, he when he first came in, he looked good, and then he wasn't called upon for a long time, thanks to Pioli. And then once he actually found a spot in the system, you realize, like, okay, this guy is probably or should probably be in the starting partnership with Tomori next season. And I hope he gets that opportunity, but I was really impressed with everything I saw. And obviously unrelated to the league, but he made his Germany debut the other day and just fucking killed it against Poland.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, really happy with Joe.
Yeah, I think, AJ, you gave him a 7 or an 8?
8.
Yeah, I was going to give him a 7.5, only because when he, like, started to come on was, like, when our defense needed it the most, and he just, like, transformed it in a way. As the defense got better, he started to look like he was dropping off a little bit. But Pioli also was, like, pulling him when he was in form. So, you know, there's also some coaching issues going on. But I think for a 21-year-old in a new league, that's how you want to adapt. And others should take notes.
Yeah, agreed. I think he was definitely by far the best summer signing. He definitely outperformed all our expectations in terms of adapting when he got thrown in a difficult situation in January. 21 years old, definitely has some room for improvement. But I think him and Tomori could be the pairing next season and beyond. Like, they seem to complement each other quite well. He gets an 8 for me. Seems like we've found another gem there, potentially. Final one is Gabia. This is a tough one.
I don't think it's a tough one. He gets a 4.5.
How much did he actually play,
Madden? I don't know.
17 games.
That's more than I thought.
900 minutes.
Fucking hell.
895 to be exact, but yeah.
I mean, that's 10 full games, basically.
He also averaged the same amount of points per game as Tomori.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, I'm going to stick with my 4.5. I don't recall a single good thing from him. I don't recall.
He scored a goal.
Did he?
Yeah. Dinamo Zagreb in the Champions League.
Oh, all right. Well, then fine. I'll give him a 5.5.
Yeah.
I'm going to give him a 6. I think he was just, like, right, you know, above a little bit above average. Did what he needed to do when called upon. He was on the bench 50 times and only played 17 games. Like, that's very demoralizing, but he still was, like, decent when he was called upon. So
he's definitely a fine fourth choice center back, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't think he had any absolute howl of games, to be totally honest. And as you said, like, from a professionalism point of view, he's not that bothered about filling in that emergency centre back role, which is good. It's good to have players like that.
Because he's getting paid money.
Did just think of my only memory of him, and it was we were 2-0 up against Roma. Pioli subbed him on, switched to a 3-man defense. 4 minutes later, it's 2-2.
Yes.
It wasn't all his fault. It was more Vronk's, but, you know, that's the only memory I have of Gabia. Because I remember saying, why is Gabia coming on? Like, this is fine. Mm-hmm. And then that happened.
Yeah, 6 for me. Man, maybe 5.5. I hadn't thought about that. No, I'll go with the 6. I think he's okay, like, in relative terms with his expectations and stuff. He's just okay. He's fine. Definitely feel more comfortable with him going into next season than Kier, to be honest, which might surprise some people. But, yeah. Sandro Tonali, we're into the midfield now.
I'll give him a 7.5. I think he's one of our best players, obviously. I don't think he had, you know, the greatest season ever, but it definitely wasn't the worst. And I do think there was a lot of change this year that really hinders the midfield. You know, when you have a rotating cast for that attacking mid position, like who you obviously have to connect with a lot as a midfielder, it becomes difficult. And then with Bennacer and him, I feel like they never really had that run of games like they had all last season to solidify that, you know. And last season, they also were able to rotate with Kessie, which kind of defeats the point I just made about, you know, that run of games. But I don't know. It just they didn't look as good this year, but I still think he was up there. So 7.5.
Tonali?
Yeah.
I'm giving him an 8. He's my favorite player on the team. So that is a 100% biased rating. Just for everyone who's been back. You gave him an 8. He played the most minutes out of anyone on the team.
What is his points per game average?
1.67, which is probably what we averaged per game.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's actually pretty.
It'd be pretty accurate.
I think he held the midfield together and he had so many different partners all season. It's hard to stay consistent when that happens. And he's still very young. In the next like two seasons, if this continues, I'll be like, he needs to improve. But by the time he's like 25 or 26, with all these midfield partners, he should still be able to hold it down better. So.
Yeah, I think he took a massive step forward in terms of his consistency, was really important. Like, he was one of the only players who didn't bury their head in the sand during the two crises we had in the league. Watched him dominate games on his own at times in midfield, which is obviously what you want from hopefully a future leader. He gets an 8 for me as well. Benacer.
It's tough. I think he probably was about as good as he was last season. I don't think there was much of a regression other than injury towards the end of the season. Obviously, he's going to be gone for a long time. Did he go to AFCON last year?
Yes.
I can't remember if that was last season. Mm-hmm. So he probably got more game time this year. Again, I don't have stats in front of me, but I'm perfectly fine with also giving him a 7.5. If I want to be biased, I'll jump it up to an 8 just because, again, I thought he was incredible live against Lazio. I thought that was one of the best games from him I had seen, but I got to focus on him a lot more. So 7.5 to 8.
I'm going to go same. I think that he is, like, when he's on the field, him and Tonali together, it's a lot of T's, just look fantastic. They play fantastic. 7.5.
Yeah, one of the key points in the season was when we moved Benacer to playing as an attacking midfielder, and that seemed to really cause problems for other teams. And I want to say that he became more consistent, although my memory is slightly cloudy on whether he had any really bad games. I don't think so, anyway. I'm gonna go with he became more consistent and give him an 8. Pavega.
Yeah, AJ.
Old cinder block toes. The less said, the better. 4, 3, 3. He gets it. Well, you know, he did score 2 goals, so 4.
3 goals.
3?
He had 3 goals. How many?
He gets at least a point per goal.
All right, so I wanted to give him a 3, a point per goal, 3 goals, 4.5. That's what he gets.
Oliver, go. I'm going to sneeze again.
Oh, okay. Do you know what? I'm vocally anti-Pobega. Not as a bloke. He seems a nice bloke. But just like, I don't think he'll ever be conducive to the style of football that we want to play. I think that became apparent during the season as well. That being said, he had some important contributions. And he had to make do with a bit part role. He never really was able to develop chemistry with anybody. I can't imagine that he racked up 1,000 minutes. I think he was probably under 1,000 minutes, maybe.
1,108.
Oh, well, just over. I'll give him a 5.
I am giving him a 5 as well.
Mm-hmm.
I think he was pretty bang average.
Yeah. Next one on to Krunic.
Krunic actually was a lot more important this season than I think a lot of people expected him to be. I'm going to give him a 7, to be honest with you. I think once we got him slotted in at that attacking mid role, once he took over that, he looked really good and seemed to he found a place. And, you know, not a perfect Kessié replacement, but definitely that was the role he was trying to fill. And I think overall he did a pretty decent job with it, and it helped us out of a couple tough spots. It helped us play a bit more physically when we needed it. And yeah, I'm going to give him a 7. He pleasantly surprised me this year.
I'm also going to give him a 7. I feel like when he played, he did so much more than just like your average stats will show. I don't know how Krunic does it, because when we signed him, he just got shit on, right? Him and Benacer like outshined him and still does, but like he still just like goes on and does his thing and somehow impresses us. He also averaged 1.94 points per game.
That's
really big.
That's very impressive. I was going to give him a 4, but now I've heard that I'm going to give him an 8. No, I'm joking. He gets a 7 for me as well, for all the reasons you guys said. Mr. Reliable, put him anywhere on the field and he just does a job. You know, he guarantees a 6 out of 10 performance, basically. And
that's our first perfect score.
Is it really?
Or not perfect score, but, you know, all the same score. Yeah.
Are we happy to say nothing on Bakayoko and Vronx?
Vronx played over 300 minutes.
I just don't think we saw enough, though. It would be harsh to judge him.
He got an assist.
Did he?
If you want to do Vronx, then
no, I don't want. I'm just, you know.
Okay. Yeah, I think hypothetically, if we were doing it, it would probably be just a 6 anyway. Because he wasn't horrendous. He made a foul, but then he also created a winning goal in the last minute against Fiorentina. So it's like, eh.
I'm gonna give Bakayoko a 0 for refusing to leave.
Oh yeah, yeah. Fair point.
How many minutes did Bakayoko get? Because it was 39. Way more than
he averaged 2 points per game.
Wait, Bakayoko had 39 minutes?
Yeah. He came on in 3 games.
Uh-huh. Oh, wow. That's frustrating. Okay.
No yellow cards, no red cards, no goal contributions, just a solid 3.
No, he contributed to some goals. They just weren't for us. His first touch every single time he played was a giveaway. Every single time.
It was. And second touch was during his good spell here, every first touch was a giveaway.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. We could probably move on Yassine Adli as well. He only got 1 start.
Unfortunately.
Tough for him. Looked bright in the couple of moments that we did see, which he would probably implore some people to say 6.57. Why didn't we say more? Pioli gets a 0 for his handling of him. All very understandable, but we just didn't really see enough from him. I've got these in the midfield thing because obviously they played it, you know, in part of the midfield triangle that we were going with. So CDK is in here.
Yeah, CDK's got to get a 3. You know, I think, and that might be a little harsh because he did start off so bright and he had that assist. And he really could have had 5 or 6 in that opening stanza of games, but the end product wasn't there from the other players. Not his fault. He did the right things. But once he couldn't register anything, each performance got worse and worse and worse to the point that where now it's like if he does come on, because he obviously lost that starting spot, he looks lost and you know nothing's coming. You know the attack's gone now because no one builds up through him anymore because there's nothing to build. So it's got to be a 3. I think he's at the point to where now he actually takes away from the team when he plays. And again, I was a big supporter, really happy about him. I bought a shirt. I hope he comes good. I also wouldn't cry if we sold him immediately this summer. So he gets a 3 for me.
Yeah, I was also going to give him like a 3, a 3.5. The dude played in 40 games. He was on the squad 50 times. Like, that's a huge, that's 80%, you know. Yeah. He had a pretty good points per game, but we won't talk about that. Dude's trash. His confidence is shot. Like, if he leaves and becomes Paqueta, I'm totally cool with it. But, like, sometimes it just doesn't work out, right? Mm-hmm. And this could just be one of those times. I was all for him. I was super excited. And I was preaching all season, give him time, give him time. I think that time's up, even though it's only been a season. Like, you saw with Liao and Tonali, like, they were, like, moving the needle forward. He's moving the needle backward. I think it's him. I also think it's Pioli, because I think Pioli's a trash coach. But,
yeah, you know. When did he it was one of the games I was at. It was Cremonese or Lazio when he should have rounded the keeper in the very beginning. I know Ollie says it was a great job by the keeper, but, yeah, I mean, it's like you couldn't get a single goal all season. I mean, right. Bobega got 3. Offside. Did he? Did he have a goal called offside?
Or what's that? Didn't he have a goal called back?
Yes, he did have an offside goal. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I agree with every word that Maddie said. Seemed to regress as the season went on. there was no problem when he was actually trying stuff early in the season and it wasn't coming off, but he just stopped trying stuff and you can't get away with that. He hid big time. You do need to show a little bit of mental toughness in those moments. You know, we invested a lot in him. Yes, it's difficult to adapt to a new league and a new country and stuff, but it's not the hardest job in the world. Like, you've got to find a way to make it work. And
also, how many other Belgians are on the squad?
Yeah, the excuses can only go so far covering it, basically. So I think he gets a 4. And interesting that some of the rumours are that we might sell him after a season. Maybe that's like it was all Maldini's thing and now Moncada's like, I told you we shouldn't have got him, and trying to bin him off, whatever. But yeah, Brahim Diaz.
Brahim's an interesting one because he's a wildly frustrating player. He will do the most incredible thing you have ever seen, and then in that same game, do the most mind-numbingly stupid thing you've ever seen. Yep. And I really don't know how to judge him because he's got so many incredible moments and equally so many horrible, horrible moments that it's like, I'm conscious that any rating I give him is going to be under attack, but I think I got to give him a 5.5 because, yes, he created a lot. He had that incredible goal against Napoli, the solo against, was it Juventus, and another one against, I want to say Fiorentina, maybe. I can't remember, but
Monza.
Was it Monza? Okay. He had some great fucking goals. But then, because of those great goals, he refused to release the ball. He refused to pass when he had better options. He's like, I could dribble through anyone. And that's not true. Okay. So, I don't know. I think the high moments enabled him to create the low moments. So because of that, I'm going to give him a lower score with the 5.5.
I was going to give him a 6 for every single reason that you just said. I thought like 6 is pretty average. He played 45 games. In those 45 games, he was subbed off 36 times. Now, you're like, you know, that's okay. But no, when you want, like, you want your creative player on there for 90 minutes. And when he was subbed off in 36 of those 45 games, there's an issue, right?
Like, yeah, but I wonder how many of those were to give CDK the minutes that we were being forced to give him, basically.
Probably every single one, because he, you know, it was either him or Krunic, and Krunic only started to get the shot at the end of the season when CDK was shit.
And when Brahim was moved to the wing.
Yeah, right. But still, like, that's a pretty high percentage of being subbed off.
Yeah.
There's a way to look at average minutes per game, but I don't have that up here. But I'd be interested to see what that is.
Yeah, inconsistent flashes of brilliance and then would disappear for games on end. Like, we saw the story throughout the entire 3 seasons with him, really. Had some important goals, but then also went missing in some important games, which kind of counterbalances it. I think the fact that none of us are bothered that there was no option to buy him from Real Madrid speaks volumes. You need a player in that role to always be in the game. So you've got to judge him on the same scale as CDK in saying that the games that he was ineffectual were disasters, because it's like you're playing with 10 men. So I'm going to give him a 6 on the balance that he did score some important goals and he had some big moments. But we know that on his day, he can be a 9, a 10. He can be the difference maker. We just didn't see it often enough. And I think going back to La Liga is a good move for him. I think he'll have more success in that league, to be honest. Now we're moving on to the forward group. We've got Salamakers.
Yeah, we do. that's another interesting one. When he was starting, I did not feel confident about him ever. When he started coming on as off the bench towards the end of the game, then I was like, this dude needs to be starting nonstop. He looks great. But then, I don't know, man. It's another player that you just can't really put your finger on and say, like, this is it. It's just, again, it's inconsistency. It seems like whenever he has a good game, he then gets a starting nod and has a bad game and then becomes a sub. And then towards the end of it, he had a string of good sub on appearances and never got to become the starter again. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I'm not sure where to put my finger on it. 6?
I think if you judge him on the first half of the season, he had like a 3 or 4, and the second half of the season was like a 7. So I think like a 6 is almost like spot on, even though that's not directly in the middle.
I'll take it.
But yeah, I think that for some godforsaken reason, Pioli kept on playing Macias over Salamakers at the end of the season, even though Salamakers was like in amazing form. And that's a lot for me to say that because I fucking hate Salamakers. I'm going to give him a 7. I can't go back to the other page I was on to see how many games he played in, but 7.
Yeah, you can almost link...
I'm sorry, no, 6.
I was going to say you said 6. You can almost link Macias and Salamakers together because they went in a cycle of like, you know, one of them would have a couple of good games, some important contributions, would have the starting spot for a while, but then would just do nothing for a few games, lose it to the other player who would do the same, rinse and repeat for the entire season. I think Salamakers should have been starting at the end of the season there, especially given that, you know, Macias is probably going to be out the door this summer. I think there were some important contributions from Salamakers. He scored a couple of memorable goals for us as well. But yeah, if he were consistent, it would be fantastic, but he's just not. And that's why we're in the market for a new right winger. Like we've established by now that he's only ever going to be good enough to be a backup, unfortunately. For that reason, though, he gets a 6 because he always works hard. He always tries to make things happen, but it just isn't going to cut it at starter level for us, unfortunately. We move on now to Rafael Leao. I've jumped over to the left wing for some reason. No, let's do Macias. Let's do Macias then, yeah.
So Macias is interesting. Last season, I think we'd all agree we were pleasantly surprised with the way he performed. This season, the eye test tells us this guy sucks. But if you look at the stats, he played one less game this season than last season and equaled his goal and assist output in all comps with 6 and 2. The exact same as last season, 6 goals in both, 2 assists in both. He had one more yellow card this year than last year. And his overall rating, at least according to FotMob, the only difference was of 0.08. He was still rated over a 7, which is a really good rating. All that said, I could not stand seeing this guy this season. This whole season, I was like, every time he touches the ball, I'm frustrated, I'm irritated. It's just, it hurts your eyes to watch. And yet last season, he was my favorite player because he won me money. And this year, I hated him and he did the exact same goal output. Mm. So it's almost like I just need to put money on these guys and I'll enjoy them more. But yeah, I don't.
Did you enjoy Origi?
Nope. That one backfired. So I don't know. I'm going to say, what did I give Salamaker? I gave Salamakers a 6.
Yeah.
Then I'm going to give Macias a 6.5 because his output was objectively better. Uh-huh. But I think his lows were much lower this year.
Yeah.
And his highs were equal. So maybe that's, I don't know.
Yeah, I think I give Macias a 6.5. Gave Salamakers a 6. I would keep Macias as like a third option or a second option because, listen, out of a second option, 6 goals, 2 assists, like that's not bad output, right? The problem why it's bad output now is because he's fighting for a starting spot. If we actually have a right winger, he's not fighting for a starting spot. He is a sub. But I mean, like AJ said, we all thought he had a shit season when arguably it was the same, if not like barely better than last. That's all.
Trust your eyes, boys. Always trust your eyes. Don't care how like on par he was statistically. Fucking painful to watch. Like he missed a lot of opportunities as well in big moments.
He did.
Could have had even more goals. He could have got us back in that tie against Inter, you know. And I'm not saying Salamakers would have buried them at all. But I think it's just so clear that like he needs to go. Can't even hang around as a third option for me. Like, unfortunately, the ship sailed. He gets a 5. Wasn't absolutely disastrous, but wasn't good either. I don't like him at all. Leao.
It was just a personal attack on
him. Yeah, sorry. My bad, Junior, if you're listening.
I mean, I think Leal's got to get an 8.5 or a 9. I think his only down spell was when we switched formations to a formation that really hindered what he was able to do.
Mm-hmm.
He was our best player prior to that change, and he was the best player after the change when we went back. Obviously, he got the huge renewal this season. There is a reason behind that. He's got a 175 million year release clause, and that's because that's what we value him at, and it makes perfect sense as to why. This is our best player. He's the guy you build the team around going forward, and he's going to continue to give us numbers. He's going to continue to move us emotionally with the way he plays. And yeah, the kid gets a 9. There is no ceiling for him.
Yeah, I was going to give him a 9. He had 31 goal contributions this season, which is massive for someone who has no help whatsoever besides 85-year-old Giroud. Like, pretty much everything AJ said, I'm not faulting him for the formation change and having a little dip because that's on Pioli. So, 9. And hopefully he's a 10 next season.
Yeah, it's gotta be the highest rating, hasn't it? As you said there, I think that down period that he had was not even his fault, to be honest. Yeah, formation that didn't suit him at all. Then when we got him back doing what he does best, he terrorized teams again, won games on his own. He's the only player we have who is capable of unlocking teams like on his own. Everyone else needs a lot of help. Numbers got better. He's just on a gradual upward trajectory, and that is really good to see because there were times last season when it looked like he wouldn't match his same numbers from the Scudetto winning season. Yeah, he did. He went above and beyond. And the renewal is an extra bit of icing on the cake, really, because you know hopefully we've got him for 2, possibly more seasons. 9 out of 10. 9 out of 10. Yeah, Rebic.
From the highest of highs to lows. Yeah. I mean, he scored 2 goals in the first game.
He Rebic played 1,200 minutes this season.
Yeah, he's played a lot. Yeah, because towards the end, when Pioli was rotating the lineup and not playing Leal for whatever fucking reason, like a 23-year-old needs a shit ton of rest for one game a week, you know, like that shit was ridiculous. But anyways, not on Pioli yet. Yeah, Rebic started off hot and then ice cold, real bad. So I'm going to put him on the low end right there next to Pobega and Tata and Dest and give him a 3.
Yeah. He scored 2 goals in his first game this season and then 1 goal in 30 games after that. So he gets at least 3 points. I'm going to give him 3.5.
Yeah, 3.5 was I was thinking as well. Started really promisingly with a brace against Udinese in the first game. Then just completely vanished, essentially. And while I don't think he was put in the best situation sometimes as well, that was offset by the fact that he apparently showed a massive lack of professionalism towards the end of the season and just wasn't training hard. So Pioli left him out of the squad altogether for the final 3 games. Like, that's fucking unacceptable. Do you know what? He gets a 3. He gets a 3. You can't do that. We need to sell, but I don't think we're going to get much money for him, if anything at all, to be honest. Giroud's
another tough one because that's a guy I'd like to see leave the club. He's someone who frustrated me endlessly. All that said, going into the last match day, he was our top goal scorer. He ended up not being there. He ended up getting second. And I think he is fine if he sticks around next season as the backup, but I can't have him starting again. But as far as his performances this year, again, up and down, even the games he scored in, he didn't look great. He just would get a fucking header or some flick on and it would just work somehow. But the times when he didn't get the flick on correctly, when he was under pressure and the goalkeeper, whomever it was, Mike or Tata, would make the long ball over the top straight to Giroud, he would take a heavy fucking touch. It would bounce all the way back to the opposing forwards and they'd run it back for a goal. We saw that quite literally multiple times, and I can't give him the top marks like we should for his points or for his goals. So I'm going to have to give him a 6.5.
I'm going to give him a 7. He had 26 goal contributions. I mean, for a striker, you want more, right? Because he played in 47 games. So I feel like that should be in the mid-30s at least, especially playing for a team who wants to challenge for a championship every season. You need someone whose back is able to hold that amount of pressure, and Giroud just can't do that. That's why he gets 7.
I do think if Giroud had another striker that could actually support him, I think he'd be better. But I do think there's age and wear and tear.
Having two strikers play at the same time, or just having like
a... No. Just like if Giroud was off the bench or even had a guy to rotate and successfully rotate. Because every time we rotated Giroud, he had to come back on in the last 30 minutes because they weren't doing anything. So I think if he was able to get like a real rest, I mean, at his age, he needs it.
Yeah.
And he could have done better, but he wasn't given that. So I got to judge him on this performance.
Went all the way to the World Cup final as well and came back absolutely goosed, clearly, which is understandable. He just got no help. He got thrown under a bus, really. We needed more guarantees from the other options. If he were effectively rotated, I think he might have been able to look better in those games where nothing would stick and where he looked to be running around like a headless chicken, because he does run, he does press, he does do the hard yards, even at the age of 36. And his goal-scoring output was better than I thought it would be, but it is artificially inflated a bit by the 5 goals he scored in the last month of the season. He gets a 6 for me. Like, I'm balancing it being a difficult situation for him with, you know, the goals he got. And then also the eye test. It was tough to watch at times because he is not a player that's capable of providing us with an outball, especially not when he's running on like 10% energy. Divock Origi.
Fuck this guy. I had such high hopes for him. We all did, as we found out last week when we went over the predictions. But how many? He had 2 goals, 3 goals total?
2
goals and an assist, something like that.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm conscious of the fact that we bought him injured and he never quite recovered from that fully by the time we had to play him again. And then he did re-injure himself. So he did have a rough season. And if he's here next season, I'm willing to give him another chance, almost a clean slate. But for this season, based on what we saw, or rather what we didn't see from him, it's a 3.
I didn't see anything I liked from Origi besides $20 going in my pocket. So for that, he's getting an 11 out of 10. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah. He's getting like a 2.5. Dude just was awful.
Yeah, really, really interesting debate to be had on like how much of the difficulties that we suffered by having to play Giroud over time are directly related to the fact that Origi arrived with an injury, and then, you know, it disrupted his preseason preparations. There's some context to it, which I understand. Maybe we shouldn't have followed through with the deal, knowing that he had a problem, but then just never hit the ground running. And Pioli clearly didn't trust him. Pioli even played him on the wing sometimes rather than having to play him up front. 2 goals is not a good enough return. There were some moments where you thought, okay, maybe he's going to hit his stride now, especially after he got that first goal. The 2 goals he did score were bangers, but we're paying him like $4 million net per season, and that is just an unacceptable return, unfortunately.
Someone got fired because of that.
Yeah, so he gets a 3 for me. He gets a 3. Now we're on to Zlatan, the final player.
Can we rate him? Can we rate him, though? I mean,
it's Zlatan.
He had less minutes than...
This is your Messiah.
No, I mean, look, okay, then for his minutes, he did score a goal in very few minutes. What did he have, like 160 minutes? It was less than 2 games. I know he played 4 in 4 games, but combined it wasn't very much. So, fine, I'll give him a... For his performances alone, I'll give him a 6.5. overall in the season, because of what his like lack of appearances forced us to do, you know, you could lower it. But if we're just basing it on what he actually did this year, then 6.5, I guess, because he had the one goal in his first start of the season. So
he granted it was 1-1 loss per game.
Well, you know what? He got to play in only the draws and a loss.
Listen, he had a horrible season by his stand. No, I'm just kidding.
No, you're not wrong.
He wanted to do so much more than he could have done. His body was is old. He's 41. But he probably would have done better than Giroud if he had played all of Giroud's games. I'm going to give him like a 4.
Yeah, it does feel harsh, doesn't it, actually, to rate him?
It does.
The more I've realized, yeah.
Oh, so you get away with it. You don't have No.
I am going to give him a 5 just because it's like smack down the middle, and he did score a goal that was a record-breaking goal.
He scored a penalty kick.
On the second try.
They all count, man. They all count. Giroud missed a penalty. It's a tough one. He should have called it at the end of the season with the fairy tale ending of leaving after we won the Scudetto. But of course, pride kicked in and he wanted to carry on, which is obviously entitled to do. We offered him a contract. Shame it didn't really work out the way that we were all hoping, but we got the moment at the end of the season with his retirement and all that. That's a tough one to try and grade. Final one is Pioli. What do we give to Gaffer?
4 for me. Too many unexplainable subs. The formation change was, I guess it was like a stopgap. It stopped the bleeding for a little bit there, but the fact that we had bleeding is on him. I think the young players didn't get used enough. I think he mistreated Adley. I think Vronks could have got more game time, maybe a start. Same with the other lone player. Oh, Chow. Chow could have had more game time in the beginning. I don't know. I think he could have done a lot better. I was against his renewal on Halloween, and you know, I wanted him to leave by the end of the season. I still don't think he'll be here next season. I still don't want him to be here next season, but he will. If he has a bad run in the first half of the season, I don't expect him to make it till Christmas.
Who are you talking about?
Pioli.
Oh. Get him out of here. I called for his head in January, and I'm not going to be the person to be like, yeah, let's give him another shot. No, like, you fucked up, and your skill level has taken you farther than your skill actually is, and he has no position managing a team who's fighting for championships in 3 different competitions.
Yeah, we saw his limitations big time. Like, we all had our suspicions that we'd overachieved by winning the Scudetto. Couldn't handle the rotation at all. He got it so badly wrong. Nearly cost us our place in the top 4. Should have done, but for the points deduction. To be competing in 4 fronts, technically, with the Super Cup as well, and to succeed in only one of them, and that success in the Champions League was partly due to the draw and playing a Spurs team that were in a bigger crisis than us, and playing Napoli, who it's kind of like, you know, whoever shows up over the 2 games rather than it being Bayern Munich, Real Madrid, City, whatever. That papered over the cracks a little bit. I would have loved for us to have taken a step forward in the project and hired a more serious manager, but it does look like we've got him for next season. Maybe things change, given he now has more power to bring in his own players. Maybe he hated what Maldini brought him, and that's why he couldn't rotate properly, and the product of that is what we saw on the field. But like, he did seem really stubborn. Questionable rotation, bad substitutions, bad game management at times. It needs to improve, because otherwise, as AJ said, I don't think he lasts the season.
If we're in first come Christmas, then, you know, all's forgotten.
Sack him.
But we've been
I still think Christmas. Like, he has very limited skill level, and like what Oliver said, being able to manage rotations and all those competitions is hard to do. And like, yo, man, you're like a mid-table manager. You can compete for top 4 every couple of years. He somehow won a Scudetto, or is Zlatan won a Scudetto. It's cool.
Yeah. Take when you look at the timing of his renewal, it was – a day or two after our first league defeat to Torino in a really bad performance from us. We looked really bad.
In fairness, it had all been agreed before, and it was signed after the game out of mere convenience. But yeah.
And I think you shouldn't do that. You should never renew a manager after a defeat, even if it's already agreed. You wait till he gets a win. Make sure he bounces back.
Yeah.
The defeat can spiral, and we saw it did. At this point, we thought we were competing for, you know, all these. Our objective was obviously Scudetto. It was to make a cup run, and it was to get out of the group stage of the Champions League. At this point, we had just lost in the league for the first time. We weren't in first place. I think we were tied for third or second. We hadn't played any cup games, which a week later we went on to lose our only one and get kicked out in the first round for us. We weren't secured to go through the group stages at the time. We were in third with one game left that we needed to win, and we did, but we didn't know what was going to happen at the time. It was just a really poor decision to renew him then, of all times. Had it been 2 weeks later and we secured round of 16, and we were still fighting for top four, but we missed out on Coppa Italia. You could be like, okay, you know, we missed one target, but we got the big one. And then it makes sense. But at the time, it made no sense. It created enemies. It created rifts. And that was a big reason why Maldini's no longer here. So,
Let's move on. Listen to questions, because I've got something that feeds on to that, what you just said about Maldini and about Pioli, the head coach role. Gregory Peck asks, what are your thoughts upon hearing that Maldini and Massara were planning on replacing Pioli with Pirlo? Honestly, I quite like the idea. Regardless of who he wanted to replace Pioli, Maldini knew it was time to change and bring in someone to take them to the next level. I don't think Pirlo was
going to be the guy.
Yeah.
No, I like Maldini. I think that he did bring in some decent players. I think if Adley got more playing time, things could have gone differently, because, you know, the kid looked good for when he played. The idea that he was going to bring in Pirlo, now, we don't think it was going to happen, but if it happened, that's like fireable offense. Like, you don't bring in your good buddy to manage after he got fired from managing, like, your rival, right? Because, listen, Pirlo is not like a manager. He's go live in some farm and drink wine all day, because that's like what he wants to do. That's my two cents.
Yeah. I don't know how much truth there is in it, but I do. If it's true that Maldini was looking into potential replacements for Pioli, then that's good, because it means that he was trying to be proactive with it. But if it's true that it was Pirlo that he was looking to bring in, then it's all the way to the other end of the scale bad. Because, like, he is not the guy to take us to the next level. He got sacked from the job in Turkey that he was at. Like, unfortunately, yeah. I don't think there's too much truth in it. I think they maybe met up. Because I did see Pirlo in Milan Airport after the first leg of the semi-final. So he was definitely over, and he probably did meet with Maldini, but I doubt it was about anything like that. Clarence sent us a question on email. He said, the Brahim Diaz loan deal had a buy clause in it, and Real Madrid had a buyback that would essentially have given us a 5 million profit. What happened with that? It looks like we just let it lapse.
I don't think that was true. I think it was just a dry loan, and there was a gentleman's agreement, but with Maldini gone, you know, those agreements don't exist.
Yeah.
I don't know if we wanted to take a gamble that Real Madrid was going to pay the 5 million more.
There is that as well, yeah. Like the Colombo thing, which everyone's pointing at now and saying, oh, we've paid a million to keep our own player and stuff. That's totally different when it's 2.5 versus 3.5 million. This is like half our budget would have been going on Brahim Diaz. I'm also not entirely convinced by the notion that Pioli absolutely 100% categorically wanted to keep Brahim Diaz. There were times when he was removed from the attacking midfielder role because he wanted someone with a different mold. And also, we're going for Kamada. We're going for other attacking midfielder targets now. So maybe it was a case of purely just playing what he had and playing the hot hand when Brahim was in good form. But as for the option to buy and buy back, I think, as AJ said, it was just a gentleman's agreement. And unless you know, get something fixed in place before the end of the season, it's his loan ending, and Real Madrid can do what they want with him, and it looks like they're going to include him in their plans for next season. Fajko asks, if we were in a beer drinking contest, How many whiskey glasses could we fill with tequila? I think he's been in a beer drinking contest.
Yeah,
for writing that question. But I want to ask it, and I'll just twist it to say who would win in a beer drinking contest.
I think you would.
It wouldn't be me.
Oliver.
I hope so. Being English,
I don't drink a lot of beer.
But if it came to like a spirit drinking competition, that's a different thing because it's not what I drink. You know,
right?
Who can neck the most tumblers of whiskey? It's
not me. I tell you that right now.
I don't think it's going to be me. That'd be Madison. So different
tequila. I'll do tequila all day long.
You can have that.
And wine. I'm all about that shit. But the beer, I mean, I'll drink beer. It's not my favorite. I don't get drunk on beer though, so I don't know.
It's because you drink probably like Bud Light.
No, I mean I do Hispanic beers. I like Corona, I like Dos Equis. Oh, that
so it's like still like 3% alcohol.
Yeah, I mean nothing crazy. I don't like really dark beers.
I mean, like, here's the thing. In order to throw back beers, like, you gotta be in the mood, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's not often I'm in the mood to like drink like 8 beers.
Yeah. Beer's that's like if I want to binge drink something, and I never want to binge drink something, but no. You know, I'll do a bottle of wine, you know, on the weekend or whatever, just like it's what, 2.5-3 glasses, something like that.
Yeah. Beer to me is always synonymous with days out of the football, and like you can drink it all day and not get rat-assed really quickly. So it's like a session thing rather than just I'm going out to get blitzed.
It's also that's like a social drink for sure. Sitting on the porch, or am I like if I'm going to a game, right? I'm going to be throwing back 5 beers and be like, oh, I just drank 5 beers. But if you're on the porch, like 5 beers, you're like, what am I doing with my life? You know?
Yeah, that's true. At the Champions League final, I think I threw back 5 or 6. Yeah.
It's like total situational.
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely. So, yeah. Abhijit Mohan asks, what's your gut feeling that under Cardinale we actually aim to win trophies versus we just become a team in the Arsenal Spurs mold, financially bulletproof with an occasional trophy?
I don't think Spurs are financially bulletproof.
Financially, they are. They're looking like top 7 in the world.
Yeah, revenue wise, they've massively hiked it with the new stadium.
Trophy wise, they're not doing much.
No. Occasional trophy for Spurs. No.
Spurs have been in a Champions League final, and I fully believe that if we're in a Champions League final, like, we will win it. But that's just like me being hopeful. And
we would not have beaten Man City, just for the record.
No. But we also have a striker who can score from 3 yards out.
Do we?
I'm giving that to Ollie G.
Yeah.
He can do that. That's all he can do.
Really. An open header, actually, from that point. Yeah, he's making that.
Listen, being financially stable is not a bad thing.
No.
But not spending money to win is. Like, you see Inter winning things, or at least getting to championships, right? Now, this summer may prove to be like the downfall of them, but that's yet to be seen. Just like it's yet to be seen how Jerry's going to run our transfer market.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, I'm all for being financially stable like Arsenal and Tottenham, especially like in the Italian league where that's so much harder to do. But like, you have to spend, right? We're not going to spend like them because we don't have the revenue like them. But, you know, we might spend 70, 80 million to transfer window and target free agents. People have like a very bad idea about free agents, but it's going to become such a bigger thing than it was in the past couple of seasons.
Off topic, but Lorenzo just sent this to the chat. Fenerbahce's official French account just tweeted out, Hakan Çalhanoğlu is one of the worst players Turkey has ever seen. So that's really funny.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, rude as fuck. Yes, I agree with what you're saying, Matty. I'm willing to give him the summer here and see, you know, now that it's his guys, obviously, with what we know how the Maldini window went. Now it's the Jerry way. We'll see how this Moneyball works. I do like most, if not all, of the players we've been linked with, which is a good sign. But at the end of the day, it comes down to who you do sign, and that's what's yet to be seen. But if we get the players that we're throwing names out for, then, you know, maybe it is good. And I think we can win, because being financially stable and running like an Arsenal or a Tottenham, realistically, that's enough for Serie A. You know, De Laurentiis has been doing it with Napoli for a while, and this was finally the first year that they got to reap the fruits of their labor there. And, you know, maybe that's what we're going to do next. It looks like Inter's losing Lukaku, Edin Dzeko, Dumfries. Like, they're losing a lot of people. So who knows how they're going to be next season? Obviously, they look to replace and they spend heavy, but there comes a time when they can't spend, or they're not going to be able to overturn the players at a value enough to do that. And it's going to get worse. And they're not going to hit every time. You know, they've signed some older players at the end of their time, and it's worked out. But what happens when it doesn't? It's the exact same thing as signing young players and one's not the hidden gem you thought it was, you know? It's just on the opposite end of the exact same coin. So either you spend a little on an unknown player and it either hits hard or it flops, or you spend a lot on a big-name player and it either hits hard or it flops. Which one's worse? Probably the big-name player, in my opinion. So it's yet to be seen how it's going to turn out. But I trust and give him at least the summer, I think.
Yeah, you've got to have the summer. Only then can we really judge. The window's not even open yet and people are throwing a fit. I think we're in a phase of trying to line up some sales and maybe inquiring about, hopefully signing a couple of free agents. Like, if we've got Turam and Kamada coming through the door on July the 1st as like the first bits of business of the window, two big ticks for positions to fix and still our budget intact to go out and strengthen the areas we know we need to strengthen. I reserve all judgment until the end of the summer. We can see how the squad looks, but in terms of Serie A, there's always parity. Now there is, at least anyway, since Juve fell off a bit, where any team can surge through the middle and win, you know. So why can't we take advantage of that? I would have liked to have had us to have had some stability going into next season. Obviously the management's all changing and stuff, but we've got to judge Moncada and Fellaini by the same metrics as we would have done Maldini and Massara. Like, let's see what they're able to get over the line and we'll see how the squad looks. But it's a bit of a blank canvas as well. Like, if we do get a few players out the door, there's an opportunity to build and invest and make something that's actually quite an exciting new team. But there's a lot of time yet in the window and stuff. So we'll wrap it up there. Speaking of a lot of time, we're about an hour and 15 or something. Been an absolute pleasure to wrap up the 2022-23 season. I think that'll just about do it. I can't think of anything else we can do to look back at next season. But thank you to everyone who listened to this point. And a reminder to check out the Substack for all the latest bonus content and this week's bonus podcast episode as well. I've been your host, Ollie Fisher. Find me on Twitter at Ollie Fisher. AJ, cheers for joining.
Yep, always a pleasure. I think I'll be here next week as well.
Maddie.
Same.
Happy days. I might not be here next week because I'm actually in Milan to watch Coldplay, so you can roast me for that in the comments. But do drop a comment because it really helps the algorithm, and drop us a rating on your favourite podcast platform. Other than that, we will see you in a week's time.
Ante, ecco l'anteante in area di rigore, ante, Ibra, gol! Vediamo se è buono, ce l'ho da buono.